receive what God has put on his heart. So I want us to come over here, brother. I want to thank you and bless you. Father, I thank you for my brother. I thank you for the work of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for the anointing of God in him. And we just invite, Lord, we surrender to you. We surrender to your Holy Spirit. That my brother will hear you, and we will hear what you have to say through our brother. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your anointing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah. Ooh. Okay, can you hear me? Yep. Is this thing working? All right, bien. And we're live?
Yep.
All right, good morning in the YouTube world. Good morning to you all. Thank you. God bless you for showing up. You are, man. All right, let me get at the truck stop, Brother Michael brings the music. And then we sit from 8 to 9 and we fellowship and talk about whatever. And every time, because it's the Lord's time, the Lord gave Michael the music that's right on time, and the stuff that we're concerned about, we're talking about, is right on time for the word he has for me to share, which is right on time. And it happened again this morning with the worship this morning. Praise God. Thank you, brother, for listening. Thank you, brother, for listening to the Lord about what to bring, because, yeah, it's about his love. I also want to say out there in the YouTube world, shout out to some of my brothers I just texted and sisters. But don't forget, every time you guys watch something on the YouTube that's Christian-related, please hit like and share it. All right? So even if you don't want to listen to this again, play it like in the background so it gets played. That helps with what they call the algorithm. Because even every day at faith school, I yell out, hit the like button, hit the like button. You know, because if you're faithful in a little, right? And that's just a little thing to do. So I just share that with you, and so praise God. I want to pray real quick. Heavenly Father, you are nothing but love. And as we get into your word this morning, Lord God, we just want you, first we want to bless you and lift you up and receive your goodness that you have already have, Heavenly Father God. You have already spoken like one of those songs had said. We just love you and praise you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. I asked her sister if you guys want to read along or if you just want to read up here, she can get it. We're going to go to Romans 1, but we're going to start in verse 18. And I'm going to be in the New Living Translation, all right? Or these little Bibles are English Standard. It's almost the same thing. Our Bikers for Christ Bibles that we have, that we give out, it's in the New Living Translation. And we're going to read it like this because it just hits so different. Make sure I know where I'm at. Yeah, cool. So that's verse 1, but we don't want verse 1. We want And if you have a study Bible, I want you to look at something. Most of these Bibles that have a heading where in between, inside the chapter, it's broken down. And the heading above verse 18 is where I want to start. It says it's God's wrath on unrighteousness. Some versions say of sin. And I want to point out here, because we're going to read this stuff, and it's pretty heavy, but this ain't talking about you. It's talking about what he don't like. Well, hey, let's get, because a lot of people, they'll quickly attach, like victimhood mentality, it's a big thing, and they'll quickly attach all stuff to them. But he's talking about what he don't like. Amen. Praise God. Yes. Verse 18, but God, wow. We've looked at that a lot lately, right? But God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who surpass the truth by their wickedness. Keep going. We're going to go all the way to the end. Huh? They know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky through everything God made. They can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power, and divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. Yes, they know, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God or even give him thanks. And they began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. And instead of worshiping God, the glorious, ever-living God, they worship idols made to look like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. So God abandoned them to whatever shameful thing their hearts desired. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. They traded the truth of God, or the truth about God, for a lie. So they worship and serve the living God created of the Creator itself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Amen. This is why God abandoned them to their shameful desires. Even the women turned against the natural way to have sex and instead indulged in sex with each other. And the men, instead of having normal sexual relations with women, burned with lust for each other. Men did shameful things with other men. And as a result of this sin, they suffered within themselves the penalty they deserved. Since they thought it foolish to exchange God, or foolish to acknowledge God, He abandoned them to their foolish thinking and let them do the things that they should never be done. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness: sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, and gossip. Someone turned off the light switch. You shot yourself in the foot. There are backstabbers, haters of God, insolent, proud, and boastful. They invent new ways of sinning, and they disobey their parents. They refuse to understand, break their promise, are heartless, and have no mercy. They know God's justice requires that those who do these things deserve to die, yet they do them anyway. Worse yet, they encourage others to do them too. All right, that's the heavy part. But we're going to read this backwards. Brother Mark likes to give everybody a funny, right? So we're going to start now. Like I said, we're going to read this backwards. But y'all don't know how to read backwards? That's my funny to y'all. Okay. Now, when I say backwards, because we're going to get into what these songs that we just sang about God about, is this Romans 1 in the four part. So now, if you read 16 and 17, let her find it real quick. Romans 1, 16 and 17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, the Jew first and also the Gentile. 17. For it is righteousness of God, for in it, all right? But here it says, the good news tells us. See how it reads different? This one in most King James and stuff says, it just says it. So if you don't know what the it is, right? Well, the it is the good news. Yep. The good news tells us how God makes us right in His sight. Come on. This is not performative. That last song that we sang, this is not performative. This is how He makes us right through the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen. That what He sees is you are righteous if you're born again. Amen. Yes. Right? This is accomplished from start to finish by faith. As the scripture says, it is through faith that the righteous person has life. Yes. It reads a little different. Go now to 13. Like I said, we're reading this in reverse order, kind of. But it just jumps, right? I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, when I'm reading this, I was like, I get to speak to you all today. Did y'all know, brothers and sisters, that I planned many times to visit you? You know how many times the Lord put on my heart, one day I might get to stand up here? I'm reading this. I've read it 1,000 times, and today is jumping, or last night is jumping off the page. But I was prevented until now. I want to work among you and see spiritual fruit.
Amen.
I ain't up here to talk about the weather.
Right?
Right? But you all need to know that you're loved and blessed and empowered. Yeah. And there can be spiritual fruit through faith, right? See how this works when you read it backwards? And this was like, this is his word, but this is his idea. Just as I have seen among other Gentiles. So he's talking to the Roman church and stuff, and he's letting them know that you guys are loved beyond measure. Was that 15? That was 13. All right, so go to 14. For I have a great sense of obligation to people in both the civilized world and the rest of the world. That's for my brothers and bikers of Christ, right? We hang out with the civilized and uncivilized, man. Praise the Lord, man. Brother Paul's been with us to the clubhouses, right? To the educated and the uneducated alike. Yeah, number 15, all right? I am eager to come to you in Wilcox to preach the good news. Right? I mean, my heart was exploding reading this last night and this morning. I am eager or excited. There's just, whew. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That was 15. Now we're going to read 10, 11, and 12. One of the things I always pray for is opportunity, God willing, to come at last to see you. Right? Paul's writing to a church. He's speaking to a church. I love you all. Verse 11. For I long to visit you so I can bring you some spiritual gifts that will help you to grow strong in the Lord. And we've been here all week, and I asked the guys Friday, I said, take a minute, pray. If the Lord asked you to talk about marriage, what verse would come to your mind that the Holy Spirit would give you? All right, so that's what I'm seeing now doing this. I come to visit to bring you some spiritual gifts that will help you grow. Are you hearing? And are you realizing that what you're hearing is righteous? You are hearing the righteousness. Speak to the righteousness that's in you. And it's got to be good. So don't be like, I don't know. Because for one, if you know this word and what you're hearing backs up this word, then you know it's really good. And that's what we need to profess and say over our lives, right? Amen. Don't prophesy,
that's right.
But prophesy. Verse 12. When we get together, I want to encourage you in your faith, but I also want to be encouraged by yours. You know, we're just not up here dancing and hooping and holding snakes. And Brother Paul is encouraged whenever we hoop and holler. Let me tell you, you know, don't break out the flags and the snakes. Lay down. No. But, y'all, you know, but we want to be encouraged, and we're here not to be performative or whatever, but to be an encouragement through the perfect word that you are reading and is in you if you're born again.
Amen.
That's encouragement right there, man. That was 12, right? So now we're going to do verse 8 and 9. Let me say first that I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you. Because your faith in him is being talked about all over the world. Now, if you look at that time, how could Paul say that?
No YouTube. No Facebook.
But there's one God, one Lord, one Spirit. Right. And it just wasn't him running around talking about Jesus, right?
Amen.
All right, that's verse 9. God knows how often I pray for you. Day and night I bring you and your needs in prayer to God, whom I serve with all my heart by spreading the good news about his son. And when Bikers of Christ, when we go out sometimes, we just call it the ministry of presence. Because while we're there, we're thinking of the people that we're talking to. And we want them to know the Lord like we know the Lord. I want you to know how often I pray for you. You know, it's just because, and I'm reminded of the faithful church and the faithful churchgoers that are here, and a reminder and how good our studying and everything is. Praise God. Verse 6 and 7. And you are included among those Gentiles who have been called to belong to Jesus Christ. We just sang that. All right? Praise God. Verse 7. I am writing to you all in Wilcox who are loved by God and are called to be his own holy people. May God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Praise God. So now verse 1 through 5. This letter is from Paul, a slave or bondservant of Christ Jesus, chosen by God to be an apostle and set out to preach his good news. Verse 2. God promised this good news long ago through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. The good news is about his son. In his earthly life, he was born into King David's family life. And he was shown to be the Son of God when he was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. He is Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through Christ, God has given us, you and me, the privilege and authority as apostles to tell Gentiles everywhere what God has done for them so that they will believe and obey him, bringing glory to his name. That's why we get up and shout, man. You know, we can get caught up in the end of the chapter real easy. But when you read it like this, Paul is writing to encourage other believers. Yes. And the Romans, they were into everything. That's why he was talking about the chickens and the goats and stuff earlier. You know what I'm saying? But now you are Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ and it's no longer I that live. You know, and that's the way we have to be living because they are still making fools of themselves. They are still abandoning better thinking to whatever they think is the best thinking. They tell us that, well, your Bible stance is just your opinion. I have an opinion of it. I'm like, it's not my opinion, brother. That's what he said.
That's right.
But are you more concerned at the end of the chapter or you're more concerned at the beginning of the chapter? It's about God. It's about his son. And when you read it in the NLT, you know, or the English Standard, it reads kind of like that. You read it in King James and New King James, it doesn't read like that. Because it puts way more of the good news in there. The good news, the good news. It just keeps saying they and him and about him and stuff. And you kind of get lost. I love reading all the different versions. If you go to Bible Hub, you can quickly switch different translations really easy. You know, and read it different. And to me, it jumps off the page more when I do that. Because Brother Andrew was talking about they were addicted to the gospel or so, that word. And it was used, and I couldn't find the passage. I couldn't remember it. You know, but it's so good, man. That's brothers and sisters, friends and family. This reading is so much a blessing and an opportunity to see God's heart towards us. Paul, a man of God, was speaking towards a church, towards like us. It started with his wrath, but remember, his wrath is what he don't like. His wrath is against what he hates, right? Sin, death, unrighteousness, what do you want to call it? Pure evil, right? He's against those things, y'all. He ain't against us.
Amen.
I said, you can get stuck at the bottom of the chapter, right? But Paul is talking to uplift and want to see your spiritual fruits and bring you stuff to grow you. That don't sound like a God that wants to have someone come in there and point fingers and hit you with lightning bolts and play the holy whack-a-mole and Gus, you're doing wrong. No, that's not what we're getting out of this book. We're getting the love, the joy, the grace of God in relationship. I can't see if there's any time back there that says 25 minutes is what I got. All right. Because that was just the introduction. I got more to read. When we read this, and just not this passage, but his word, it's the truth that we see of his love, of his son, of the perfection of the Lamb, And that's why I kept saying the gospel, the gospel, the gospel. It was pointing that out, right? And it's towards us. It's towards you. It's towards me. The whack-a-mole isn't towards me.
Right.
The love of God through Jesus Christ is for me and towards me.
Yes, amen.
Because we talk to way too many people who are stuck in what's right and what's wrong. And they're stuck there. And well, I've read this cover to cover. But why are you stuck? If you know, I was saying the other day at the truck stop, is the devil has struck me with a fiery dart. Tunk, and now I got a dumb dart stuck in my head. But the word of God is like a plowshare. And the plowshare goes into our hearts. The word of God is like a plow that goes into our hearts. And it's not to hurt us. It's to get the dumb out. He's trying to wedge it down. I was going to bring like a toy dart and stick it on my head. Right? He's trying to unwedge those strongholds that we call them. He's trying to get that dumb dart of those silly Christian things that we say. Christianese things or worldly things or anti-Christ things. It's like, no, and that's why it hurts when we hear it. You know, if you read just in a chapter, yeah, it can hurt, but be rejoiced, man, that he's not against you. He's against the things that are unrighteous, and he's trying to dig them out of you with the word of God.
Yes,
praise God, man. Woo. Yeah, so I was saying here, and it's, these things are so, they so easily, like the word says, they can overwhelm us or ensnare us. And one of the things that we were reading the other day, it also says that without being in a continually good faith church setting, the word of God just kind of floats away like a ship, and the safe harbor is right there, and it just floats away. There's no storm. There's nothing hard going on. It's the lack of understanding and being in this that makes you float away from the safe harbor, you know, and Satan ain't going to do nothing.
Right.
Again, you're shooting yourself in your foot or you've applied some dumb standard to your life that is not the word of God. And we have to remember in all of this, we learned this week too, that he is, we sang that song, Jireh, Jehovah Jireh. So what does the Jireh part mean?
Provider,
right? He has provision for your necessities. He has provision.
Yep.
Jireh, your provision is more than enough. I get this right in here. Praise God. Provision for the hard times. And provision when it just seems like it's floating away. He has provision when I'm struggling. And he has provision when I'm glorifying.
Yes.
Right? He has provision for my strength. Provision, most of all, of a Savior. We read that. It said that in the time of the prophets and stuff, the stuff was written down. He had provision of what us knuckleheads would need to have a really good relationship with him, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. Jireh, Jehovah Jireh, provision, the provider, right? Praise God, man. Like I said, we were singing that, and I was like, this. And then he started, I was like, get on my notes, man. What's wrong? If you're here today, like the YouTube people that are here today listening, it's because God draws all men to his heart, and their hearts are drawn to him and him alone. That's why I wanted to read the word of God. That's not Gus's opinion.
Right.
Right? Because that's what he's doing. And if I say anything that, also I'm doing this on purpose, I don't have all the verses, I'm skimming over stuff that sounds like verses, hey, you know where to stop. You can hit the pause button, write down the time. We do this in faith school and stuff. And if you want to go back and look that stuff up, praise God. Unless you all can hear me.
We can.
Did I turn myself off? Oh, yep, I hit the mute. Is that better? There we go. Stop touching it. Remember, you're listening today because he has provision for you. That's why you're here. Praise God, right? In verse 16 and 17, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith." That's why I'm saying it reads a little different in NLT. We know most of these verses. If I'm saying something that you're, it sounds like a verse, well, that's probably because it's a different translation. Go back. Press pause. Look at this stuff. All right? And through faith in the complete work of Jesus' atoning blood, which is freely given for you to freely receive.
Yes.
And again, one of the songs that we're singing, and when you were talking, I just wrote down, this is not performative. He performed everything that is necessary for you to escape all the stuff that he hates. All that stuff that we read in the beginning is the stuff that he wants us to escape that stuff.
Yes.
He made a way through his son, praise God. Right? And it's freely given so it can be removed. And when we are born again, we now live in a new life of his power in faith. If you go down to John 3, we're going to read verses 1 through 21, also in the NLT here because it reads different. There was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. After dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. "Rabbi," he said, "we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you." Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." "What do you mean?" exclaimed Nicodemus. "How can an old man go back into his mother's womb and be born again?" Jesus replied, "Assuredly I say, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit." Humans can reproduce only human life.
That's right.
But the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. He's making a way of escape here for us, folks. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. The wind blows where it wants, just as you can hear the wind, but can't tell where it comes from or where it's going. So you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. "How are these things possible?" Nicodemus asked. Jesus replied, "You are a respected Jewish teacher, one of the smart ones." And they tell us when they're smart because they tell us that they're smart. "And yet you don't understand these things." That's for today's culture, y'all. "I assure you, we tell you what we know and have seen, and yet you won't believe our testimony. But if you don't believe me when I tell you about earthly things, how can you possibly believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ever gone to heaven and returned but the Son of Man who has come down from heaven." That's a hallelujah jump right there, I tell you. "And as Moses lifted up the bronze snake on a pole in the wilderness," that's a whole study in itself, y'all, "so the Son of Man must be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him will have eternal life." Yeah, down to 16 and then 17. "Okay, for this is how God loved the world. He gave us his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish by all that stuff that he hates that we just read, but have eternal life."
That's right.
"God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him." Hallelujah. Praise God. And the reading of his word, right? Whew. This faith is in the completed work, like I said, in the atoning blood of Jesus. Praise God. And he's doing it so we can have restored eternal relationship. We must be restored. If I find an old car or old, like some guys you see in movies will pull a tarp back and there'll be a car or an old panhead Harley Davidson, right? And oh, that's my favorite 56 panhead model, man, with a Jenny frame. Oh, boy. You know what I'm saying? We just know. That's the one we like the most. And I'm going to take that thing home, man. I'm going to clean it up. My buddy paints really well, right? I got a friend who's an engine builder. We're going to put this thing back together. And when I get done, it just shines like a brand new penny. It's brand new. It's been born again. It's got some new life in it. And I take it back to the shed and put the tarp over it. Nobody would do that. God didn't do that to you either if you're born again. You are not of those things that he hates. Those things that you might be applying to yourself, that's prophesying over yourself, of the things that he hates, those are not your attributes no more. Right? If he hates them, I should hate them. And I hate them for you if you got them. And sometimes I get a dumb dart stuck in my head too every once in a while, praise God. But I go back to the Word, and he corrects me with his Word, sticks the plowshare in my heart, and sticks a wedge in my skull. Come on, Gus, you big dummy, right? Praise God. But he loves, Gus, you're brand new. But the thing about it is, that old bike won't kick and go unless I kick and go it.
Come on.
He gave us the power.
That's right.
And I can go at any time, full of the Spirit and the Holy Spirit power, and go. And speak truth into their lives whether they want to hear it or not. Because we just read they make up all kinds of lies about God, different stories, and invent new ways of sin. But we did this yesterday. We prayed before we went somewhere, and I prayed. I said, Lord, and give me boldness when I speak today because I was asked to speak at an event. And the very first thing when we sat down, a guy walked up to me and asked me about blah, 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 blah. I said, well, maybe you shouldn't be doing blah, 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 blah. Well, I didn't ask you how to correct me. I was thinking about somebody else. I'm like, but you're doing all this stuff that I just been reading about, and you want to correct somebody else while you're doing it. I got a dart stuck in your head. But we can be free of that.
Yes.
Right? Not just say, I know the Word of God.
Come on.
I read it. I mean, I read this thing, man, you don't know how many times. I have still yet, and I got saved, so y'all know, December 15th, 2005, on the back of my old motorcycle. I wasn't in church. I heard enough about Jesus Christ through Bikers for Christ coming into my tattoo shop. They said, you have to make it about the person of Jesus. If you make it about all the rest of it, you're applying yourself, right? And you're not applying the good news into the good news. You need to apply the good news to yourself, right? And that, is, I got saved on the back of my motorcycle, said, Jesus Christ, come in my heart and my life. I don't want to live another day without you. And I did that on the way to go sin. That's where I was headed. That's where I was going. I had 3 tattoo shops and a girlfriend in each tattoo shop. I was in between tattoo shops. But the Lord got a hold of me, and I finally surrendered. Just to the person of Jesus. Not to a religion. Not to an ideology. Right? Just to the person of Jesus. And then in the bike world, if I have a president, like I'm the elder, we don't call them presidents in Bikers of Christ. If the president brings down a decree and he gives it to the sergeant at arms, and all you guys are in the club and y'all wear the same patch, like you see my brothers wearing the patch, say we're all in the same club together, and the president brings down a decree, this, you know, the word of God is our decree. This is what he said. Here it is. And all y'all go, I'm going to cherry pick that. I don't like what that rule for engagement in the biker culture. I don't like that. And you're going to get punched in the mouth real quick in the biker culture. And you will never be invited back. You might get stomped on every other time they see you again until you get it. Because you just offended them so heavily. And we don't do that with God. God is my president. He laid down his decree. This is not my opinion. Right? And I can't say, well, I like a little bit of that stuff in the bottom of Romans. Well, you know, I'm saying we won't stumble and stuff. And this, that, or that. Give it a name. What do you want to call it? But he hates it.
Right.
He understands. Thank God for mercy.
Yes. Hallelujah.
He had provision for mercy.
Yes.
He had provision for grace. What does it say back there? 6 minutes? 9 minutes? 3 minutes? I can't read it. It's at the top. 9? Woo, y'all in trouble. That's a long time for me to talk, man. So God has restored eternal relationship, and we must be made new, born again, saved from, in order to run our mouths about the good news. It's not in order to blah, 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 blah. It's in order to, you know what I'm saying? Oh, talk about his goodness. Proclaim his goodness. I mean, we say the cliche stuff in AA. We call it the refrigerator magnet sayings, you know, whatever. You know, when is God good?
All the time.
And all the time?
God is good.
Pastor always says, well, in class, if the instructor on the video says something 316, oh, I didn't know if it was John or 1 John. Or just write down 316 because they're all good. All the 316s in each book is good. Right? Deuteronomy 3:16, Revelation 3:16, right? They're all good. Yeah, go home and read them all. Right? And then apply them.
Amen.
Oh, we must be sealed, thank God. And saved from, in order to, like I said, be about. And it's also to be spiritually cleansed so we can have a good, clean, rich, Word of God, Holy Spirit-empowered daily life relationship. It's just not for 45 minutes on Sunday.
Come on.
Because the world, I had a biker president ask me when his prospect died while they were riding, why'd he die? I just don't understand why he died. Man, Gus, I just don't understand why he died. I said, brother, I tell you why he died. Because the world hates us. This word says way too many places where it says that you're, if you do worldly stuff, God don't like it. The world is against you. It wants you dead. You're dead when you're born. You're dying when you're born.
Right?
We're dead to righteousness and alive to sin. But he wants us alive to righteousness and dead to sin.
There you go.
Through new birth. Praise God. I said, brother, he died because the world hates him.
Yeah.
Well, praise God, that brother, right before he died, received the Lord. We understand. You just don't know what truths, simple truths we share whenever they ask us. That I have to be bold and stand in truth. And even if when you tell me, well, that's your opinion, we'll just agree to disagree. But Brother Andrew always says, well, if I agree with you, we'll both be wrong. I don't say that, but in my head I do. You know? But I'm not going to agree to disagree. Because the very end, if you read Romans 1:32 in the New King James, it's like, those who say it's okay for all the other stuff to happen in Romans 1, even if you're not doing it, you're guilty just as if you were doing it because you okayed it.
Yep.
In Alcoholics Anonymous, we call it co-signing your junk. And I'm not going to co-sign your junk. You came in here with a whole bunch of broken life junk, right? And some of it was spiritual darts or worldly darts stuck in our head. It's junk. And only the Word of God gets this cleansing thing that we can have in order to go about doing good, not doing good deeds, by sharing the good news.
Amen.
And he empowers us. It's just, people say, aren't you afraid that they're going to beat you up and take your motorcycle? I say, it don't belong to me. These cuts that my brother's wearing and this stuff right here, if I quit BSC today, everything that's got this logo on it, it has to go back. It belongs to Jesus and it belongs to his ministry. Well, you know how much money I got? Man, I bought the $500 this and my ring was $100. It says Bikers of Christ. All that stuff does not belong to us. I am being crucified with Christ as no I that live. But he's empowered me to live alongside him, right? And be able to be bold, praise God. What does it say? 5? Whew. Yes, we are daily empowered to have this relationship with him through Jesus. Oh, and we are able, right, to comprehend his word. I think, let me make sure if I say it. Yeah, if you go back to Romans 1, verse 24, just real quick, just sum that up because if it's there, Romans 1, 24. So God abandoned them. Whew. This one says God gave them up to. There's other versions that say it differently. I said, you can get to the end of this chapter and get stuck. Man, I know I've done. I was on my way to go do some of that stuff, right? When did he abandon me? Did he abandon me? No, but if we read the front part of it, we know he's called, he's done a work. It was written by the prophets and expounded, not hidden from us, but hidden for us, like we always say, like the word says. So God abandoned them to do whatever shameful things their hearts desired. If you can do whatever you want, especially if it's your heart's desire. I hear, well, I'm doing what, you know, I think the Lord has me to do, and I have a desire to do it. And even in that, you know, is that your heart's desire? I shared with you the first time, real quick, the first time I ever was asked to preach in North Carolina from a different biker church. I was in a Freedom Biker Church, and I went to a little church here near Goldsboro, North Carolina. I was just blown away because I was asked to begin with. Someone thought of me, their pastor died, and they were filling in spots. You know, I was like, wow, they thought, and I never preached before or nothing, but I guess I run my mouth so much, I sound like somebody who might know who Jesus is. So they invited me to their church.
That's where we get started.
Yeah. And I wrote 3 sermons. And, you know, I didn't go to seminary. And I didn't have the Baptist background of making sure you have 3 points when you make a sermon. You know, I just went off the Word of God, but when I got done, the Father's like, everything you just said was condemnation. There was no mercy in it. You know, right there in chapter 3 of the book of John, you know, you're condemned already. He ain't done a lick to condemn you, and he's not doing anything to condemn us. But we can, on a daily basis, when those fiery darts come towards us and come at us, right? Don't condemn yourself.
Amen.
Man, call somebody, get with a brother or sister in Christ, or just get in your secret place and get into the shadow of the Most High.
Amen.
Because Psalms 91:1 says that, right? He who abides in the shadow of the Almighty,
yep.
Right? And I was told a long time ago, if something was the, you know, like last weekend, we had something go off out here in the parking lot, and someone had to dial 911. And if the cops show up, their shadow is they're so close to you, right? Their shadow might cast on you because you're that close. In a time of need, you know, where something needed to be worked out and figured out. Well, when you call 911 in the Bible, you're now under the shadow of the Most High. There's no condemnation from the shadow of the Most High. There's only uplifting and joy and forgiveness and chance,
amen,
mercy, whatever you want to call it, over and over and over and over and over.
Amen.
For you, right, to get all those dumb darts out of your head and let him work on us more and more every day. That's why we have the classes here, praise God. I'm so grateful for the stuff that's just going on in this little church. We invite anybody that's in the YouTube, you know, we're watching Faith School. You can start that at any time in week 1. We eat 3 times a day. We're going to eat some fried chicken after this. How many times a day do y'all eat of this? When this decree says, take my little book and eat it. Praise God. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that this is all about you.
Yes.
And all that you have done and all that you desire to do, Heavenly Father God. And right now, anybody, right now, Heavenly Father God, even out there in YouTube, that is hearing about your good news and desires more, they can stop right now, no matter what they're doing. If they're on the way to go sin, just stop right now and receive your son's good news, mercy of salvation through the blood work on the cross, so we can receive it right now. Anyone in this room right now who has not received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, can come up right now and be prayed over and brought into the family, God, removed from the Oh, from the world of darkness and brought into the family of light. Heavenly Father God, we thank you for these things. I thank you for my pastor and this congregation of Extended Hands Fellowship. And I just pray all this in the Son of Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Gus. Thank you, those of you who are watching. And thank you. Did you learn anything this morning? Listen, God is doing a work in the earth. He said, if my people and who are called by his name will humble themselves and seek his face, what did he say he would do? He would heal our land. That's not just the physical land. It's a promise that he desires to heal our lives. But he doesn't force us like that whole. He gave them up because that's what they wanted. They kept going, no, God, we ain't got time for you. We don't want what you want. We want this. And he finally said, okay. But look what all came before that. All the good news. You do not have to live in your hurt. You don't have to live in your bondage. You don't have to live in your sin. You don't have to live in your brokenness. All you have to do is come out from amongst them, 1 Corinthians 6 says. Come out from amongst them and be separate, says the Lord. And I will be your God, and you will be my people. He loves us. And he beat Jesus for all our sin. He poured out the wrath that we deserved on Jesus. Jesus took the beating that we deserve. And when you say, thank you, Jesus, because it's the enemy that comes and says, hey, you just did this. Hey, you did this. God's going, I done took care of it. Took care of it over there with Jesus. 2,000 years ago, I took care of that. Quit it. Stop. Come out from amongst them and be separate. I'm about to preach some more, and the timer's in the red. Thank you, Jesus. Be blessed. Be encouraged. If you have any needs, we're here. We'll pray with you. Contact us. Email us. Shoot us a call. 520-766-HELP. And we'll help you. Amen. God bless you.